Tavern Conference of Markham, Delaware, it's 3:20 p.m. on March 27th. With us today, we have a full committee, Representative Ledoux, Representative Tilton, Representative Hughes, myself, Chair Olson, Representative Culver, Representative Josephson, and Representative Kito. Definitely have a quorum. Please turn off your phones. We have one item on the calendar today, House Bill 123, I believe this is the seventh time that we've heard this bill. Presenting the bill again will be Michaela Fowler. But I think we all know what is at. Public testimony has been closed. It's my intention to take up the three amendments that are before us and bring them back the bill for consideration. Last Friday, Vice Chair Hughes, during the meeting, objected to version W for purposes of discussion. Representative Hughes, do you remove your objection?
Yes, I remove my objection.
Is there any further objection to version W?
I mean, we're offering amendments, but notwithstanding.
No, we're bringing the,
right.
This. Okay, seeing then, version W is the working document, the CS version W. Any questions regarding the changes that were made that we've talked about before? Seeing none. Now we're down to the amendments. Do we have a motion to adopt the First Amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move Amendment Number 1, labeled W1.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. Conrad Jackson from my office will walk us through Amendment Number 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Representative Olson. The amendment before the committee being considered, W.1, makes two changes to the bill. The first, at the request of the department, adds AS 1171 to page 5 of the bill. This would allow for prosecution of violations of the controlled substance statutes. The second portion of the amendment on page 7 would, as I've explained it to folks, avoid a gap in service. The way the language of the bill and the initiative is currently written, the Alcohol Beverage Control Board is currently working on statutes. Once this bill becomes effective as currently written, their authority stops. It becomes the authority of the Marijuana Control Board. The problem with that is the Marijuana Control Board does not actually exist. There are no members seated. So we have that gap in service. This small paragraph allows the Alcohol Beverage Control Board to continue as they existed the day before the effective date of this bill. And so work can continue on the regulations. Once members of the Marijuana Control Board are seated, they would carry on from there. So it's an attempt to avoid any delay in making progress with the regulation.
Representative Culver, did you have? Okay, Representative Ledoux.
I guess I don't understand why this is needed, because I thought the terms of the initiative say that the ABC board, just if we don't do a marijuana control board, the ABC board is supposed to be doing regulations. So what exactly does this give us that the language of the initiative doesn't give us?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, you're absolutely correct that the initiative does say the Alcohol Beverage Control Board is in control, so to speak, of the regulations. The problem comes in, assuming House Bill 123 passes in its current version. Once it passes, it becomes effective, the Alcohol Control Board stops. Without this amendment, their authority stops. We have now granted the authority to the Marijuana Control Board.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And could you go over the portion of the amendment on page 5? I want to make sure that I understand that.
The addition of the words and AS 1171 on page 5, let me find that online. And this would be inserted on line 20 following the word chapter.
Wait.
It's about midway through line 20.
Mm-hmm.
This allows for the prosecution of the controlled substances, a violation of controlled substances statute, which is Title 1171.
And so,
follow-up?
So if we didn't put this in, what would this chapter refer to? I mean, what would it mean? What's the difference in, I mean, right now it talks about the enforcement of the criminally punishable provisions of this chapter. This chapter meaning what?
This chapter meaning of Title 17.
Of Title 17.
So we're adding the, I'm sorry, through the chair, Representative Ledoux, we're adding 1171. If you see lower down in that paragraph, we reference 1166, 100 through 135, 1166, 200 through 280. We're just adding 1171. And Representative Ledoux and members of the committee, Cynthia Franklin is online. Again, this was at the request of the department, and she may be better able to explain exactly why they feel that this is critical to the legislation.
I'd like to hear from her.
Cynthia, are you with us?
I am. Thank you for having me. Mr. Chair, my name is Cynthia Franklin. I'm the director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. The provisions for enforcement of criminally punishable provisions of this chapter were written into this bill at a time when the crime bill was heading in a direction of creating a criminally punishable scheme for marijuana crimes in Title 17, similar to the criminally punishable scheme for alcohol crimes that we see reflected in Title 4. The direction of the crime bill has changed and reverted back to a scheme where the marijuana crimes remain in the Controlled Substances Act, and the lawful activities around commercial marijuana are a carve-out to those marijuana crimes. It's imperative that the enforcement staff of whatever board is making regulations has full authority to enforce marijuana crimes to meet the goal of shutting down the black market. In other words, without this little section that is reflected in this amendment, the enforcement officers would only be able to enforce rules for people who had licenses, not for individuals who were violating the law by starting commercial marijuana activities without licenses. And we know from Title IV that it's imperative that our officers be able to work on anyone who purports to start a commercial establishment without following the rules and getting the proper licenses. So this is intended to address criminal provisions that might be outside of our title that could be activities that were engaged in by non-licensees that affect the regulation of marijuana.
Did you have a follow-up, Representative?
I did. So when you talk about the direction of the criminal bill, you're talking about the direction that the other body is taking at this moment. What would happen if on this side of the building, the direction changed from what the other body is now doing and went back to what the other body's judiciary committee originally proposed?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, the words that we're adding to this bill would provide authority, specific designated authority for the enforcement officers to enforce marijuana crimes if they existed in Title 1171. If the crime bill, House Bill 79, Senate Bill 30, reverted to one of its previous forms where marijuana was removed from the Controlled Substances Act, I believe that this language would not harm anything by being in the bill. In other words, it would provide extra authority for our enforcement officers to enforce Controlled Substances Controlled Substances crimes. Marijuana would no longer be in the Controlled Substances Act, but our enforcement officers are also given special commissions by the Commissioner of Public Safety, which typically match their statutory authority and their purpose. So what we anticipate, no matter what the bill is coming out of the legislature, whether they pass or not, is working on that commission for our officers to make sure, to attempt to make sure that the officers have the necessary authority to work on the marijuana black market. In other words, I think it would be fine. I think it would be great if the crimes around marijuana were easily understandable and in one place as the crimes around alcohol are. And the document that was released by the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board on February 12th of this year, the preliminary considerations document, specifically states that the board supports the notion that the crimes be in one act as they are in Title IV. So we would be in favor of that, but I don't think that the language in this amendment would necessarily mess that up, if that makes sense.
Representative Colbert.
No question, just on this topic. I think this amendment where we're going to insert 11.71 is a major game changer. We haven't had really adequate analysis. My concern is it's too broad without a close look at it. We're turning this board and their enforcement officers into another quasi-law enforcement agency with superpowers. Anything within the 11.71 statute, I'm concerned about the cost. I would rather have troopers and our standard law enforcement, if they need to take down a commercial grow, the agency could do the investigation, but leave it to the law enforcement agencies, work with prosecutors, to pursue those kinds of crimes. I think we're going to end up with a lot of duplication between law enforcement and this board we're creating. We're not careful, so I would suggest that we remove this part of the amendment, let judiciary have a chance to mull it over on what that really means, because we are talking about, whether we're talking about the other body's version or we are talking about this version, it may not even be relevant down the road a couple committees. So I would make a motion to a secondary amendment to strike that first portion of this amendment, the insert on line 5, page line 20, inserting the AS 11.71.
Before we jump into that, okay. It's going to be going to a whole bunch of people before we do it. I mean, so it's going to be going to judiciary already, and it's certainly not my bill the minute it leaves the doors, and I think you've got at least one member of the Judiciary Committee here that's taking notes and is probably actively waiting for a chance for it to come over.
And as far as this member of the Judiciary Committee is concerned, a vote from me to support this amendment now does not necessarily mean that when my committee has had a chance to mull things over more, that we might not reach a different conclusion.
The same way it is with every bill. Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Through the chair, for Ms. Franklin, are you still with us, Ms. Franklin?
Yes.
Okay. So the way, first of all, my recollection of this portion, it's not a bill section, there's obviously a bill section. Section 3, in the middle of page 5, is you said, I think, that you were just trying to have some parity and a parallel between what was written for the alcohol provisions, although I don't see a reference to Title IV, and enforcement powers on the marijuana side. Is this the section where you said that?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, yes.
Okay. And as I see this, my understanding of all that's gone on since January 20th, and I haven't followed it very closely,
There was one model that said, we're going to remove every time the word marijuana virtually is written in the Alaska Code, and we're going to rebuild from there. We're going to start, we're going to scrub it of any reference. That was one model. The other model is, we're going to leave everything in place and carve out what the initiative called for. Is that basically correct?
Representative Justison, through the chair, basically, rather than use the term scrub out, I would say that the long version of SB 30 HB 79 was locating every section in Alaska Code where the word alcohol appeared and adding the word marijuana. And so there were many titles and sections reflected in that. And then removing marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act and basically saying we're no longer going to treat marijuana as a controlled substance, we're going to treat it as a regulated substance. And that is what we have with alcohol. So we have all of the crimes around alcohol in Title IV, as well as the regulations and the commercialized activities. And so that a previous version of SB 30 and the version of HB 79 to which Representative LeDoux referred us actually creates a series of marijuana crimes in Title 17 titled Misconduct Involving Marijuana. And that is the thematic to which I was referring that the board had expressed its approval.
Okay, and just one last question. The sentence in the middle of the page at line 18 that starts powers, I mean, I guess the way I read this is whatever is left of marijuana criminality after this would be enforceable by your agency. And so there's no commitment here of what would be. I mean, we know that you can't have more than 12 plants or whatever the initiative called for. But I do note that if we include AS 1171, we're adopting the controlled substance language, obviously, rather than the regulated language. So are we more on the criminal side than the sort of infraction non-criminal side by just saying 1171?
Well, Representative Joseph said through the chair, there are many crimes involving alcohol that are misdemeanors and felonies, and those are in Title IV. So when our enforcement officers, who are peace officers and are commissioned by the Commissioner of Public Safety, when they enforce alcohol crimes, they are acting as law enforcement officers. And that is the way that we make sure that no commercial alcohol establishments crop up that are not regulated by the board. When we look at 1738 as passed by the voters, it grants the Alcohol Beverage Control Board or Marijuana Control Board authority to make rules, but it doesn't write in any enforcement powers. The lines to which you're referring in this bill are, they don't reference Title IV, but the language is lifted directly from Title IV, and it is an attempt to mirror the enforcement powers for marijuana that the ABC board has for alcohol. And the concern that we have, and the reason why we ask that this be inserted, is because if we only have the ability to make rules, and we only have the ability to enforce rules for people who are already licensed by the board, then businesses that crop up that say, we're not going to go to the board and get a license and follow the rules, we're just going to open a marijuana business without doing any of that. We get the calls. I mean, we get the calls. We've already gotten the calls on any marijuana business that's done that since November 4th. But as of today, I do not have the ability, even as Representative Culver suggested, to have officers investigate that. We have no statutory authority to investigate or to work on any marijuana violations given to us by 1738, only the authority to make the rules, not to enforce them. And this amendment attempts to acknowledge that maybe all of the crimes around marijuana would not be in Title 17. And in fact, the version of Senate Bill 30 that was passed out of Senate Finance, none of the crimes around marijuana would be in Title 17. They would only be, as you stated, Representative Josephson, civil penalties for licensee violations, for people who already have licenses and don't follow the rules. But none of the crimes for opening a business without a license would be reflected in Title 17, and therefore the enforcement officers who might be the logical first choice to begin an investigation like that would not have the statutory authority to do so.
Thank you.
Representative Colbert, do you withdraw your motion, or would you like a brief at ease to write it up and bring it back to the committee?
I'd like a brief at ease.
Be back on the record. Conrad Jackson from my office is going to read the amendment to amendment number one, so Cynthia Franklin will be able to discuss it again before we vote on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, for the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Representative Olson. The conceptual amendment to amendment number one proposed by moved by Representative Culver would delete lines one and lines two of amendment W.1.
Cynthia, we've had several members ask for clarification on it. Are your thoughts again?
Mr. Chair, the absence of the ability to enforce any marijuana crime that remains in the Controlled Substances Act in Title 1171 could result in board enforcement that cannot effectively work on the black market. That's one of the missions in our mission statement from the governor and the administration in implementing the voters initiative is to attempt to not only regulate those individuals who come forward who want to follow the rules and get licenses, but to attempt to limit commercial marijuana operations to individuals who follow the rules and are duly regulated in those establishments. So the concern from the board would be that if there are no crops around marijuana in Title 17, then that section of this board bill does not give enforcement officers any authority to shut down black market operators.
So from my perspective, it doesn't just gut the amendment, it guts the bill. Would that be an oversimplification or?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, it severely curtails the ability of the board to effectively regulate the substance, and it makes it look completely different from the way that we regulate alcohol, to not have the ability to enforce on illegal operators.
Thank you. Representative Ledoux?
I actually have three questions, if I can.
Yes.
Mr.
Go ahead.
So I guess I'm just wondering, since we actually don't know what the marijuana crime bill is going to look like in its final permutation, and we don't need to do this now, but if at some point it were written for the enforcement of the criminally punishable provisions of this chapter or of any other chapter which criminalizes marijuana, what would that do?
Ms. Franklin?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, that would have the same effect as specifically stating 1171, in my opinion.
But it would have the same effect, but yet it wouldn't allow this board to enforce things against anything else, correct?
Representative Ledoux through the chair, correct. It would limit it to marijuana crimes.
You have three. You have one more?
Actually, I now have four. Okay.
Do math.
So, for practical purposes, and I forgive me if I'm going a little bit afar, does it make any difference to an individual charged with a crime if marijuana is listed as a controlled substance or is not listed as a controlled substance, as long as there are crimes or no crimes associated with marijuana use? So in other words, you have this language of the initiative that says, notwithstanding anything else, and then maybe the else is amended so that marijuana is still a controlled substance, but you've eliminated or really reduced the penalties hugely. Does it make any difference if you're still listed as a controlled substance in practicality? I mean, we've got alcohol is listed not as a controlled substance. It's considered a regulated substance, and yet we call it the Alcohol Beverage and Control Board. So what difference does having it listed as a controlled substance actually make?
Representative LaDuke, through the chair, in my opinion, it's a big difference. And the difference is this. As a controlled substance, the substance itself is declared to be illegal. So the Controlled Substances Act defines substances that are illegal in Alaska. As a regulated substance with crimes associated with that substance, you are defining conduct around the substance that is illegal. So when you think about alcohol, alcohol itself is not an illegal substance, but it is illegal to provide alcohol to a minor, to furnish alcohol to a minor. So what the crime is, conduct around the substance, not the simple fact of the substance itself. And in my opinion, when you take marijuana out of the Controlled Substances Act, you make marijuana a regulated substance like alcohol, and it ceases to be in and of itself an illegal substance. Where I see the big difference in practicality is not in the person who is charged with the crime, because the biggest thing that matters to that person is what level of crime that they're charged with. So when you say if you're reducing the penalties, it's the same, it is the same for the person charged. In my opinion, what makes it very difficult to have one substance, marijuana, be both controlled and regulated, both illegal and legal, is the confusion that it leads to on the part of law enforcement and the public regarding what is allowed regarding that substance. And what we see with alcohol as a regulated substance is everyone knows alcohol is legal, but you can't do anything that you want with it. And the crimes around alcohol can be found in one place, and the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and its staff become de facto experts on what is and isn't allowed with regard to alcohol. This, I believe, is the key to making keeping the public safe, to keeping it out of the hands of minors, to keeping the public understanding what the rules are, and to having de facto experts who can help educate everyone else in the state about what is and is not allowed around that substance. I believe that as long as it remains both an illegal and legal substance, both a controlled and regulated substance, we will continue to have a lot of confusion. And while I can appreciate the sentiment that it would be nice for the troopers and local law enforcement to be leading the charge on marijuana, the simple fact of the matter is those law enforcement officers have bigger fish to fry. They have rapes and murders and domestic violence crimes to investigate and pursue. And they have to develop priorities with a marijuana control board. Enforcement of the rules around marijuana would be their priority. And I believe that is the advantage that we have with alcohol, that we would like to see having that same advantage with marijuana.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we'll chat more when we have other committees. Can I just ask one more question, and then I'm through?
Promise?
Promise. Does the APC board have the authority to make criminal laws with respect to alcohol, or is it only enforcing criminal laws that the legislature has already enacted?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, the crimes are defined in statute. The regulations do help interpret the conduct around those licensed activities that help determine whether or not a licensee has violated a criminal statute. But the crimes around alcohol, some of them apply to licensees, such as 416.052, licensee furnishing alcohol to a minor, and some of them apply to people who aren't licensed by the board. 416.051 is furnishing alcohol to a minor by a person who's not licensed. That's the person who the young person taps on the shoulder as they walk in the liquor store and says, "Hey, mister, it's my birthday. Will you buy me some booze? I'm not old enough." The Alcoholic Beverage Control Board officers have the authority to write that person a ticket to meet their mission of preventing diversion of alcohol to underage persons. And that is the important part, because that is the part that is left out of the ABC's role, the ABC or Marijuana Control Board's role in AS 1738.
Thank you.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Franklin, I heard you say, when I expressed concern about the 1171 language, you noted correctly that just if we're looking for the alcohol parallel, just as in alcohol, there are felonies and misdemeanors under Title IV, and I think what you were trying to say is we should be okay with a comparable statute or statutory subsection being in this bill reflecting a reference to 1171, because there's a parallel there. Is that essentially what you said?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, yes, in the sense that if those were the only crimes around marijuana, and when we were looking at activities around marijuana in the black market that the board would really have the responsibility to be working on, we would be working out of that different code as opposed to in Title IV, where all the crimes are contained in our same code.
Okay.
Our same title, sorry.
If I may
follow up?
Yeah. You've said that you're comfortable personally with the introduction of the first part of the original amendment, not the amendment to the amendment, but W1 as written. But you've also said twice that you'd rather this was not, that is, marijuana was not both a controlled and regulated substance. And yet what this amendment would do is it would open the door to controlled language under 1171. So why should I be comfortable with that?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, the amendment and suggesting including 1171 is a response to the notion that we could come out of this session with marijuana crimes only in 1171. I'm equally comfortable with Representative Ledoux's language that the board would have enforcement authority over any criminally punishable provisions of this chapter or any other criminally punishable provisions of crimes involving marijuana, which would necessarily be different than the language in the amendment that says 1171, because 1171 is the entire Controlled Substances Act. The idea is not to expand the board's authority over any other substances. The idea is to encompass all marijuana crimes in the board's authority so that when marijuana activity is encountered, that the enforcement employees of the board have the ability to work on that activity. So I believe that the 1171 language is a response to what we saw happening with the crime, rather than being something that we were putting forward as a preference. It was more tempting to make sure that the authority existed for these officers to accomplish one of our key mission points, which is to diminish the black market for marijuana.
Okay. Just if I could just make a quick comment.
Certainly.
I appreciate what you've said. I It's a lot to process, I think. My concern is, when I see 1171, my antenna go way up because I say, oh, you know, this brings me back to being a prosecutor, and I recall that it would, in, you know, 1171 is mixed 4, 5, and 6, and a lot of this would now be legal under the initiative. So it just concerns me that this invites someone to say, well, we'll just plop down 1171, 040, 050, and 060 right where they used to be. And that's my concern.
Representative Josephson, through the chair.
I meant to say 1171, 040, 050. Yeah.
I completely understand your concern, and I have the same concern. In thinking about whether or not, if we were to picture a scenario where the board bill made it through the legislature, but a crime bill did not, the current statutory scheme for anybody who was engaged in marijuana activity that was not licensed by the board, those crimes would exist in Title 11 and 1171, the Controlled Substances Act. So our main concern is to make sure that if there is a marijuana control board created, that the marijuana control board has enforcement authority that's comparable to our enforcement authority over alcohol. And the purpose of this amendment was to attempt to help us accomplish that. I certainly understand your concern and Representative Culver's concern about overreach. As a former prosecutor, I understand the concept of overreach. However, if the marijuana control board's enforcement activities are limited to the criminally enforceable provisions of Chapter 1738 or Title 17, and there don't end up being any marijuana crimes in Title 17, then as a lawyer, I look at that and say, well, do the enforcement officers of the Marijuana Control Board have any authority to enforce any marijuana crimes? And that is our concern.
Okay.
Representative Culver, do you have a question?
No, I'm just ready for debate on the amendment.
I would like to add, before we get that far, that we have Kathleen Frederick from the Office of Administrative Hearings online. And perhaps, Kathleen, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Is there anything you would like to comment on that's just taken place in the last 10 minutes or longer?
Well, from the standpoint of the Office of Administrative Hearings and why we were involved in this bill is one of the formulations was to send license denials and the like to OAH for hearings. So we had put in a fiscal note, and depending upon how the bill ultimately turns out, if we are doing hearings, we charge for that on the same basis as we charge the Alcohol Control Board for currently, and we did a projection based upon what we found had happened in Washington State.
Any questions for Ms. Fredrickson? Thanks again, and with that, we will bring it back to debate the amendment to amendment number one before we take a vote on it. Are there any further questions on that or comments? Representative Culver?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think if nothing else, this debate has been very good to really focus in really how that section, when you talk about controlled substances 11.71, what do we want this board to do? What are their duties and functions? I think their function is issue licenses, enforce licenses. Is it so broad that we want them to take on the role of another law enforcement agency, a DEA, if you will, a tobacco firearms agency such as the federal government? I don't know enough about going down that path and what it looks like and what that costs. I know we have troopers, we have prosecutors, we have a good criminal justice system. I thought we were replicating the ABC board, but I think with referencing the Controlled Substance Act, and giving them broad powers that are not defined. We don't know what those sideboards look like. That's what makes me uncomfortable. So the concern that I would have, we've in the building and the various pieces of legislation that we've been tracking, how many plants are legal to be in a home, for instance? Is it too many? Oh, is it considered a commercial grow? Well, let's send a license investigator over there. We think they've got a commercial grow. They've got 13. Well, let's prosecute them. Is that what we want these people to do? I think we need to have a policy discussion on what the role is. Who's going to enforce the law? I think we got the troopers for that. And it needs more work. I mean, that's something judiciary can look at. What would be the ramifications if a vehicle referenced 11.71 rather than decriminalizing and not referencing those statutes? So I don't know what it looks like. I have concerns about growing a bigger agency that we can't afford and duplicating law enforcement. I think as we do now with license investigations, the agency can do the investigation, develop the findings of fact, and have the law enforcement agency of the state of Alaska that would be prosecuting that do it. I'm concerned about duplication and broadness, Mr. Chairman. That's why I brought this out. I mean, I don't know what it means. And obviously we will need to regulate it if it goes that way. But is that something this new board is going to be doing?
I think in a perfect world, we would have one bill that addressed the whole thing. My greatest fear is this is going to evolve into a slow-motion train wreck, and we're going to have one half of it get through by the end of the session without the other half. And then what happens when there's a call put on it? What do we end up? We start all over again on both bills? Do we do one big bill? I'm not sensing real good things about the direction that that we're heading on this issue, but Representative Ledoux, are you going to make me feel better or worse?
What I think I would like to see, because I actually do think that it's appropriate for the Marijuana Control Board to be doing enforcement action just the same as the ABC Board does enforcement action. But I would feel more comfortable with, instead of it saying, referencing 1171, because we don't know what 1171 is going to look like.
Can I ask you to wait on that, because we have a motion on the table right now, and we can vote on that one, and then if you want to do amendment number two, which is amendment number two to number one, we can do that. But I think we have to vote on the first one rather than trying to make a never-ending series of amendments to amendments to amendments.
That's probably correct. Thank you.
Any further comments, Madam Clerk?
Does he maintain the objection?
Pardon me?
Objection is maintained?
Yes.
Conceptual amendment to Amendment 1. Representative Culver?
Yes.
Representative Tolton?
No.
Representative Keto?
No.
Representative Josephson.
Can I pass for a moment?
Representative Hughes.
No.
Representative Ledoux.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Chair Olson.
No.
Without
the amendment number one to amendment number one, fails by a vote of 2-5. With that, we will take a brief at ease. We're back on the record. Representative Ledoux, you mentioned you have another amendment, which I guess will be amendment number two to amendment number one, or
conceptual amendment.
Well, I believe it's probably written, isn't it?
Pardon me? Yeah, I wrote it. So I move conceptual amendment number two to amendment number one.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. Want to walk us through this?
Yeah, well, basically what this does is, instead of referring to AS 11 71, which we don't even know whether 1171 is still going to refer to marijuana crimes, whether marijuana is even going to end up as a controlled substance, changed it from that to, or any other chapter referencing marijuana crimes, because Ms. Franklin had indicated that that would be something that would do the same thing.
As one of the few non-attorneys on the committee, it makes sense to me, but Ms. Franklin?
Mr. Chair and Representative Ledoux, this makes sense. I think this works equally as well, or better.
Any further comments on conceptual amendment 2 to amendment number 1? Hearing none, I'll lift my objection. Are there any further objections to this?
To the whole amendment?
Pardon me?
To the whole amendment as amended?
No, this is conceptual amendment 2 to amendment number 1.
No objection.
The amendment moves, which brings us back to the amended amendment number 1. Ms. Burris,
Just a comment. And I think the wordsmithing could be done in judiciary. The list, the last language you put in, or any other chapter referencing marijuana crimes under the jurisdiction of this board. And there may be other ones. It's not everything having to do with it, you know, so within the jurisdiction of the board. But if, whether we did it now or later, I think that would be helpful to clarify.
If it's a conceptual amendment made on the fly, Representative Culver. And we'll be considering this later.
Any further comments on the amended amendment number 1? I'll lift my objection to it. Are there any further objections? Seeing none, amendment number 1 as amended moves. Brings us down to amendment number 2.
And Mr. Chair, I move amendment number 2 labeled W.2.
And I'll object to purposes of discussion. Mr. Jackson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Representative Olson. Amendment W.2 deletes a bit of a question mark, a number of questions a number of people asked. What is an area of human habitation? And frankly, I didn't come up with an answer. And we settled on inserting the words a community. It seemed to make a little more sense since we could come up with any number of odd definitions of an area of human habitation.
Any questions for Mr. Jackson?
Could we just hold for just one second?
Sure. Seeing no questions for Mr. Jackson, are there any questions on the amendment? I'll lift my objection to, Representative Ledoux, I'm sorry.
So what would happen if you got a city of 6,000 or less, but that city is within a borough that has more than 6,000. I'm just trying to put this together in my own mind right now.
Let's pass that one off to Ms. Franklin. Are you with us?
Mr. Chair, yes, but could I just have the question again? I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand it.
Representative Ledoux.
Okay, so I guess I'm trying to figure out whether it would be considered rural if you have a city or a muni of 6,000 or less people, but that community is within a borough which has more than 6,000 people. Is that rural or is that not rural?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, the way that it works in alcohol regulation is that if there's a borough and then there's a municipality or established village within the borough, they're considered separate population-wise for purposes of population definitions in the title. So it would be considered rural if that makes sense. If it's a municipality or established village, if it's a community that has a boundary and it's under 6,000, it would be considered rural.
Do you know of any communities or cities that are under 6,000, which are within boroughs that are over 6,000?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, I don't know off the top of my head, but that's not to say that they don't exist. I just simply have not been in this position long enough to have become familiar with all the different areas across the state, and prior to this I was with the municipality of Anchorage for 6 years. So I do know that we do have established villages within the boroughs, and there is a provision in Title IV that allows a community to draw that boundary around itself to be an established village for purposes of Title IV.
Thank you.
I believe there's at least one in Houston. Representative Kito?
I was going to add to that. I was thinking that the city of Palmer is actually within the Mat-Su borough.
It's close to 6,000. I'm not sure.
And then, I mean, that would be something where you might not consider that rural, but then you have Lake and Penn borough with other communities within the borough that are smaller than 6,000 that you would consider rural. So I think that there might be something to think about there.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that's something that would probably be fixed in the next committee, possibly. And that brings us back to I think we're at the point where I will lift my objection.
Oh, wait a minute. I have one more thing to say.
Oh, Representative Hughes.
Before you lift that objection, Mr. Chair, I just want to echo, I'm concerned and would hope that the next committee would look at that, because I think the intention is for what we consider truly rural, and I'm guessing there are other places in statute where that might be defined and might be a better way to define it so that the intent can be carried out, because I'm guessing there are actually some other cities that would fall into that, as well as the two that I'm quite sure Houston and Palmer comes close, and there's probably others around that would be the case as well. So I think that should be fixed, Mr. Chair. I just want to get that on the record. Thank you.
Any further comments? I will lift my objection. Are there any further objections to amendment number 2? Seeing none, amendment number 2 passes. It brings us down to the last amendment, amendment number 3. Representative Joseph,
I move amendment 3.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
So amendment 3 does the following thing, and it has the following sort of purpose. To begin with, and I've said this in other places in the building, so I don't want to bore anybody with it, but I cast a no vote in November on this proposition, this initiative, and I did something even more than that. I told my voters, which was allowed, I was told, without trying to encourage them to join me in a no vote, I told them I would be voting no, and I sort of gave them an explanation of why. So I truly came from a no position. And I'd probably vote no again, if for no other reason, because we're spending so much time on
this. I share your sentiments, maybe not your vote, but
yeah. So, but now that we're here, my concern with Section 8 of the bill in version W is that it preempts an opportunity for people who know a lot about the industry to use that knowledge and make for a better board and a better industry. And I don't know that there is compatibility with the alcohol industry and what skills one derives from working in that industry. Section 8 of the CS turns the Marijuana Control Board into basically a second alcohol control board by requiring that two industry seats be filled by people from the alcohol industry. And I think this undermines the entire purpose for creating a separate Marijuana Control Board. Now, some will say, yeah, but this is cured in about 2 or 3 years. But it's cured after most of the regulations are written. That's a problem. This would be the only industry board in Alaska in which no member is required to have any experience or understanding of the actual industry and is, in fact, some say, in a competing industry. That's been said, I'm sure, in many committees, that there's some competition there. And I would also note not only that the industries are both very different from one another, but that the bill itself refers to, in middle of page 4, the board shall control the cultivation, manufacture, possession, etc. So it really speaks to the need to understand the value-added portions of this, all of which I will tell you I find very odd. I mean, the whole concept of edibles is still something I'm sort of not sure I grasp, but there it is. There's nothing inherently valuable in having experience with the alcohol industry. One could have experienced the alcohol industry without having any relevant skills for helping develop good industry regulations. They could have worked in on a loading dock. They could have worked wholesale. They might not really understand anything about what's happening on the ground to customers and how to keep minors safe, for example. But as written, this is sort of what we've limited to ourselves to in Section 8. So the central question, I think, is without an existing legitimate marijuana industry in Alaska, what criteria do we use to ensure people on this board are best suited to assist in the regulatory process during the formative period? What the amendment, now turning to the amendment itself, what it does is it has a cumulative, not a disjunctive test, and that by that I mean Ms. Fowler's department would have to evaluate all three criteria, and those criteria are some understanding of the marijuana industry, business experience, and background in regulatory compliance or rulemaking. Now, you don't need to find all, so I suppose it's not truly cumulative, but they'd have to at least consider all. And so you would absorb some things that, frankly, some skills, potentially, and particularly in number 2 and 3, that you're not getting by just saying someone from the alcohol industry in a sort of blanket way. So I think the amendment addresses the core concerns of the change, which is that we have someone with a regulatory background who might incidentally know something about marijuana. It could expand the pool of potential appointees. It would allow the governor to choose someone from the alcohol industry if he deemed fit, but if he deemed correct. But he would still...
Should be he or she, I think, to be...
He or she. I've met...
Yeah, we can't say he anymore.
Right, I know, but I've met Governor Walker. It gives some more flexibility in the appointment process. So, you know, part of me says, well, this will all work out given sufficient time, but part of me says, no, this is fairly important, and that there are people who, through conversation, travel, the internet, reading, can know a lot about the industry. After all, we're just looking for two individuals without being lawbreakers or Coloradans or Washington State residents. There is a place for that, and so it's for those reasons I'm moving this amendment.
Representative Faber, followed by Representative Ledoux.
Yeah, I think we're all struggling with what the qualifications would be on this board, and I guess I tend to agree with intent. I would have one conceptual amendment that I would offer, but I'll yield to other members first. I would insert agriculture after industry as another qualification, because there's certainly going to be a little of that going on.
Representative Ledoux.
I also have some of the concerns that Representative Josephson mentioned, and I know that in the next committee of referral, that this is something that is really going to be seriously considered.
Representative Colbert.
I have a conceptual amendment that our committee aide has so generously copied to hand out, and I would, when you get it, I will move it. Do you have that? Thank you. On line 6.
Brief it is, told us, handed out.
Okay.
Back on the record, Representative Colbert, would you like to walk us through this?
Yeah, I would move an amendment to amendment number 3 on the version W.3,
conceptual.
And if you go down to what the qualifications are in line 6.
So I'll object for purposes of discussion, so please continue.
6, 7, and 8, different qualifications. It says understanding of the marijuana industry, business experience, 2 or 3, background and regulatory compliance or rulemaking. And this amendment would insert after, on line 6, under subsection 1, understanding of the marijuana or agriculture industry. So the amendment would be to add or agriculture.
Cynthia, do you have any comments?
Mr. Chair, I believe that there are individuals who have already identified themselves who could be good candidates based on these qualifications for a board. But I defer to the committee and your discussion about it because I understand the concerns that Representative Quito brought up and the reason for the change in the first place. But I do think that not everyone who knows and has information about the substance and has business experience is necessarily coming from the place of being a criminal operator, which I think was the original concern.
Committee, any comments? Representative Hughes.
I was going to say, as to the maker of the amendment, I appreciate the concern because I share some of them, and I am reassured hearing from the chair of judiciary that this is something that they will be looking at. I think it does need to be vetted more, and as you know, someone with pharmaceutical background, someone with laboratory background, there are other things that might be useful. And I do appreciate the background in regulatory compliance or rulemaking, I think, because it's going to be really intense with that in the next couple of years. So I appreciate the sponsor of the amendment bringing it forward, and it's good to get the discussion out there, but I won't be supporting it because I, based on the Judiciary Chair's comments and their plan to work on it further. Thank you.
We took the words right out of my mouth, so I will pass it on to anybody else on the committee that has a comment. And again, I've maintained my objection, but we're voting on the amendment to amendment, conceptual amendment to amendment number 3. Madam Clerk?
What's the Representative Boudou?
No.
Representative
Colbert? Yes. Representative Tilton? No. Representative Quito? No. Representative Josephson?
No. Representative Hughes?
No.
Charlson?
No.
One to six.
The amendment fails by a vote of 1 to 6, which brings us back to the full amendment. Any committee comments? Representative Hughes.
My My comment just a moment ago really applied to this, so it did apply to the amendment, but also to this, Mr. Chair.
The only thing that I'll add, I think Representative Josephson added for me, is my belief that to have somebody that was truly qualified with marijuana experience, I think they would, if they were from Alaska, they would have to be quite possibly have been engaged in what could be considered to be felonious activity, or a recent arrival from either Washington or Colorado who wasn't. We'd be in a situation like we were recently with another board appointee where he or she had only been in the state 10 months instead of a year. But I also think we might end up with people on the board that would be there for other reasons, possibly to enhance the business from ways that we have no comprehension of, because most of us haven't been engaged in it or not knowledgeable on it. I'd prefer to leave it to the next committee if there's going to be any wordsmithing on the makeup. And I see one of the people from the next committee raising her hand, Representative Ledoux.
And as I said, we will be working on this in the next committee, but I guess I see, considering that under the Raven decision and its progeny, that people were allowed to grow a certain amount of marijuana in their homes, that just because somebody had experience growing it, for instance, would not necessarily mean that they had been involved in a felonious activity.
I stand corrected. Yeah, it's not an industry, though, I come to think of it.
Pardon me?
That, growing it for personal use wouldn't be considered an industry, would it?
No, it would not. It would not.
Any further comments? Representative Jones?
Yes. One thing, with great respect for you, Mr. Chair, I think I heard you say that someone could be too intelligent about marijuana to
no.
be used. Okay. That is that we couldn't understand what they were communicating. Is that
no, I said they might have other motives that we weren't aware of because we're not knowledgeable. And
oh, I see. Okay. Well, I mean, just I said it.
Most of us, I don't know about anybody else. So.
Okay. Well, I said it in my argument for the motion. I mean, an example for me is I could study Swahili in Anchorage, my hometown, having never been to East Africa. And I could, I suppose, if I could find one other fluent person, get real good at it, but not know the first thing about, you know, the East African culture or anything else. But I might have some value. I mean, there's just so much, it's a, not the best example, but there's so much that we learn through books, it strikes me, and through interaction and communication. So that's my feeling on that. And then, I, you know, part of it is, even though my vote didn't prevail, it certainly prevailed statewide, and advocates have said that no one got more votes than marijuana, including, I guess, Senator Sullivan and Governor Walker. I just think as a nod and sort of a showing of respect to say, look, members of your advocacy group, for lack of a better word, will have a powerful role in this process. I think that's just shows respect to the voter, but that's just my view.
And again, within 2 years, we'll have a new board that will probably have a broader selection. But I think that the bill in its current form does conform with the initiative. I don't think I've heard anybody argue on that during the whole process. Representative Culver.
Well, I think the amendment actually is an improvement over just two folks on the board with alcohol retail wholesale experience. We've gotten business experience, regulatory compliance, perhaps this new budding industry. There could be, for instance, college students or young or people in grad school that lived in one of these states learning about what happens, and they may have some experience, good, bad, or indifferent, that they want to bring back to Alaska. They are, could be Alaskans. So hopefully we will get something closer in line with what this industry will actually be. But I don't think it's alcohol trade is it. I don't think that's it. So that's why I'm looking for something different. I don't know if this is it. but I think this is an improvement.
Actually, I think I will probably be stand corrected, but as I recall the initiative, they wanted it to be regulated like the alcohol industry. So, I mean, if we're putting a couple of people on that have experience like that, that to me seems it's really in conformance with the initiative. If on the initiative, it stated they wanted people like that, but we're giving it to them, or we would be. Representative Hughes.
Yeah, and thank you for mentioning that. That's a good reminder, Mr. Chair. And as it goes in the next committee, I think that's something to keep in mind, because how are they going to regulate it like alcohol if they're not familiar with how alcohol is regulated, and who better but perhaps to have someone that's been under those regulations as part of that decision making. So that is a good point. I just wanted to mention that to the Chair of Judiciary. Thank you.
And I think I made a comment off when we were at ease, but several years ago, the alcoholic beverage control was under the auspices of public safety, and then they were moved to economic development to make them more friendly, I think was one of the phrases that it was put, but I can't recall exactly. But had it been, I mean, in hindsight, it's always nice to have occasionally, but had it been with the troopers still, some of these issues that we talked about earlier in the day would not be there, because we would have less duplication, at least in my opinion. And any further comments? I'll maintain my objection on amendment number 3, Madam Clerk.
Representative Hughes?
No.
Representative Ledoux?
No.
Representative Culver?
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Representative Keto?
No.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
Chair Olson?
No.
2-5?
No. And I would like to make a comment at this time that I appreciate Representative Josephson bringing this forward for dialogue, because it's been some of the most interesting discussions that we've had on this issue. And I think we're all going to be really glad when we can turn it over to people that do this for a living, at least the wordsmithing. Representative Ledoux.
And I would just like to say that since I do share some of Representative Josephson's concerns, that I look, even though he is not a member of the next committee, that I would look forward to his advice and suggestions.
Amendment number 3 did fail 2-5, I believe. And with that, is there any, with that, it brings the amended bill back before us, Representative Ledoux.
Yeah, I've got a question for Ms. Franklin.
Please proceed.
We're on page 5, section 1738085, and we had a long discussion about AS 1171, but then as I'm going through this further, I'm seeing that the board can enforce criminally punishable laws and regulations, including investigation of violation of laws against prostitution and sex trafficking described in AS 1166, etc., and laws against gambling, promoting gambling, and related offenses described in AS 1166-200, etc. What's that all about in this bill?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair. This is Cynthia Franklin again with the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. That is a language that is contained in the mirrored provision from Title IV. The idea behind that language is that when alcoholic beverage control officers are enforcing Title IV alcohol provisions and they come across them in the context of a gambling den or a prostitution den,
I think I'm getting rid of it.
That when they encounter those activities and they are working under that limited commission that we discussed of only having enforcement power over alcohol crimes, that if they were to come into a scenario such as that where they were able to observe crimes occurring regarding gambling offenses or prostitution offenses, that they're there because there are alcohol offenses occurring, but that often those offenses occur together. So those provisions are part of Title IV as part of the enforcement effort for illegal operations that include alcohol, gambling, and prostitution. And when we brought those enforcement provisions over from Title IV into marijuana, although we had a discussion about whether or not we could anticipate those same type of illegal activities occurring together with this substance, we don't want to assume that they won't, because we don't know yet what this industry looks like, and we don't know yet what illegal activities around this substance look like. I mean, we do know that marijuana is in Alaska, has been here illegally, and there have been illegal activities. But in terms of enforcement on illegal marijuana operations, when enforcement officers enter illegal marijuana operations, suppose that you had an illegal marijuana club that was operating and enforcement officers entered to enforce the marijuana crimes on the people illegally running a marijuana club, inviting members of the public to come in and consume marijuana illegally. And when the officers got into that club, they were able to observe other crimes being committed involving those very specific sections of Title 11. The idea is that you would want them to have the same ability to enforce all of the criminal enforce against all of the criminal conduct that was occurring in that sort of illegal setting, similar to the power that they have when they encounter that setting with the alcohol.
Follow-up?
So I've got several follow-ups. First of all, if this is just this is just ancillary, but it doesn't exactly say just ancillary. And also, you said that it was limited to just those very specific things in AS 1166. But as I'm reading it, it says other criminally punishable laws and regulations, including. I mean, and so that doesn't seem like it's particularly limited. This looks like they can just do just about anything if it's a criminal law. So, and then finally, I'm just wondering whether or not, when you say this parallels Title IV, is this the new Title IV, which isn't in law yet, or this is what's already there?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, it's current Title IV. Title IV since 1980. This provision has been around for a while. I'm going to check my book and make sure that none of those sections were added later. But the law was written in 1980. It was amended in 1999 and 2012. And in answer to your other questions, Representative Ledoux, no, you're correct in that the language is fairly general. The thing for the committee to keep in mind is that the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board is a small agency. We have 5 officers statewide who are working on all alcohol crimes and all provisions around our 1,875 liquor licenses. So I understand the concern of the committee that these officers would be granted broad powers. The practical matter of it is that they can barely keep up with their duties around alcohol. These provisions, it's my understanding, were placed in the alcohol enforcement section so that if they went, one example is we've had many problems in recent years in Anchorage with people opening illegal nightclubs. So those illegal nightclubs are operating outside the rules of Title IV. They're not licensed to operate the way they are, and they are essentially a black market for alcohol. When enforcement officers enter illegal nightclubs, occasionally they find illegal gambling operations and illegal prostitution operations. The idea is that when they come onto those premises and they're there, they're drawn there by their mission, which is to shut down illegal alcohol operations, and they find that other activity that they actually have the authority to do something about it as opposed to having to walk away from that. And that there is absolutely no evidence that this broad grant of power over these sections in regarding gambling and prostitution has been abused or that that authority has been abused. It's designed to avoid the illogical result that law enforcement officers are present on a scene but have to ignore criminal activity that's happening under their noses, so to speak. So that is the provision in this bill is designed to make sure that if in shutting down illegal marijuana operations similar to illegal nightclubs, if enforcement officers were on scene and observed these other illegal activities happening that tend to happen in the context of an illegal club around a dangerous substance, that they would have the authority to address that conduct as well.
Representative LeBoux?
Yeah, I follow you there. I'm just wondering whether or not this language needs to be tightened up to express just those thoughts in both this section and maybe Title IV. And then one more follow-up. And so I was wondering, with this broad language, where why we even needed to be talking about AS 1171 or the way that was then amended, because it looks like other criminally punishable laws and regulations that would have fallen into it. But again, this is going before another committee, but I was just wondering if you could comment on that.
Representative LeDoux, through the chair, I can. The reason why we asked for specific language is for this very reason, to have this discussion and the legislative history behind the grant of enforcement authority. I spoke with the Department of Law about that trailing part of a sentence that you have just mentioned, other criminally punishable provisions. And while we certainly could argue that gives our enforcement officers broader authority over all kinds of things, we really don't want to be in that position. We want to be in the position where our mission is clear and our enforcement duties are clear, and we would rather have an express conversation about what the expectation is regarding the enforcement duties of these officers than be out relying on the trailing part of a sentence and have challenges to that. I do agree with you that it would appear, and it has been in statute for many years, that they have a much broader authority than the earlier parts of the section would indicate. But we think it's better for everything to be clear and above board and discussed.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, what are the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move CS for HB 123, version 29-.
Yes, the objection was removed.
Mr. Chair, I move CS for HB 123, version 29-GH1110/W as amended with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there an objection?
No objection. Just a comment before we final vote. I'm hoping, if you would allow me. I was hoping the Judiciary Chair will fix it, this loose language. I think we're getting way afar from what regulating marijuana like alcohol, regulating every other crime. And I think we need to be very narrow and focused. And thank you.
We won't be considering it.
Seeing no objection, the bill will move out of committee, and I'd like to make one final comment as well, and that's, I think it was the wishes of the people that drafted the initiative that there would be some regulation and that it would be modeled after, in part, the ABC, and I think we've given them what they asked for, and with that, I don't believe it. We're out of here at 5 o'clock straight up.
Good job.